Once upon a time, the son of a wealthy king, rich and powerful king, was kidnapped by a group of barbarians who came through the castle and took him away. And he was raised by this tribe, grew up to be a young man, forgetting his royalty because he was so young when he was kidnapped. Until one day, there was a famine that came across the land, and a lot of people in the tribe died. And so the young man found himself lying on the ground, just starving with hardly any energy left. And all of a sudden, he got this memory flash of being a young boy sitting on his father's lap in front of this beautifully decorated table of all these delicious, you know, goods, and he was so hungry, and it just had such meaning to him that this vision gave him the strength to get back to the castle and find the castle. With the last little bit of energy he had left, he knocked on the castle door, and he screamed, "I am not a beggar. I am the son of the king. Open the door and let me in. My father awaits." Well, the guards were so startled, they opened the door and they carried him up to his father, and his father encircled him in his arms with love, and he was returned to the love and grace of his father. And that story reminds me of us, because don't we all sometimes forget our own heavenly mother and father, and therefore forget who we are? As spiritual beings having a human experience, we forget sometimes that there's only one presence and one power, one reality. We think that this physical world is all there is, this material world of our senses. We forget that there's also the absolute realm, that where we have absolute truth, where divine law prevails and divine ideas are our inheritance. We forget, and this is so important, that any condition in the relative plane has the potential to be restored and transformed through the absolute. So, as spiritual beings wondrously made in the likeness and image of our Heavenly Father, Mother, we cannot really ever be sick or unhappy or poor because we're whole. In the spiritual realm, we're whole. However, as human beings, sometimes we can be sick and poor and unhappy when, as Reverend Robert Brummett says, our divinity gets lost in the guise of our humanity. And what we need to do is just constantly remind ourselves that there's a greater reality than what we see on this physical plane. We need to remember that we are whole and free as Spirit intends us to be. During Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he said, this is in Matthew 5:37, "Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no." Now, we know that our thoughts and feelings come and go. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. They come and go, and sometimes they are life-affirming, aligned with what is absolutely true. And other times, they're negative air thoughts and feelings, and those are harmful to our consciousness. And when we hold on to those negative feelings, we absolutely sometimes get them stuck in our heads. And so we always have the choice to say yes to that spiritual and no to some of the physical error things in this world. It is to those thoughts that we need to say no to that we need to release those error thoughts and replace them with thoughts aligned with spiritual truth, because those are the thoughts that will help us open our castle door to manifest ever unfolding good. Now, in Matthew 16:9, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven." Now, metaphysically, the earth represents the earthly realm, our physical life, the relative world of temporary appearances, and heaven represents the absolute realm of consciousness, where we are eternally one with Spirit, always. Bible scholar Ed Townley says that Jesus' teachings in this particular passage tell us that our life experiences will express according to our faith. We bind on earth when we hold those negative thoughts. And if we believe in a dangerous world, we're going to experience a dangerous world. If we believe that everybody is our enemy, guess what we're going to find? Lots of enemies out there, right? On the other hand, if we can loose ourselves from those negative beliefs and hold to the spiritual truth that there's only one power and one presence, something we say every single Sunday, but sometimes it's hard to remember out there, right? It is. Seeking always to express in and through us our highest good, our greatest good, then that's what our life experience will be like. Therefore, whether we live in a consciousness of heaven or hell will depend on how we exercise two specific abilities, the ability to say yes or the ability to refuse and say no. The first step to heaven consciousness is to be observers of our thinking, to kind of monitor our thinking, to be metacognitive, to reflect about what are we thinking. And certainly this is kind of simple, but never easy. Remember that Charles Fillmore, however, called unity practical Christianity, meaning that as students of truth, we don't just study and pray and meditate, but we also look for specific tools to apply spiritual principles, live in oneness, and transform our lives. And I'd like to thank Tom Bullock today for bringing a very pertinent, practical, inspirational article to the chaplain meeting last week. We always take turns sharing things that inspire us at the meetings. And he brought this article called, What Are You Saying to Yourself? By Martha Spock. And I'd like Martha Smock, and I'd like to read some of it to you. I really encourage you to pull it offline. It's at uni.org/resources. Great article. And here are some of the things she says. She says, you may not think you're talking to yourself, but you are continually telling yourself all kinds of things. Those inner conversations, I think psychologists today call it self-talk. So your self-talk are really your self-talk is all about the thoughts you are thinking, the responses you are making, and the attitudes you are accepting and projecting. She says you can change your life by changing the way you think. You can do this day by day, thought by thought, as you answer any tendency to be negative or fearful or depressed with positive, healing affirmations of truth. If you're ever tempted to say in any situation that it looks impossible, turn your thinking around and say to yourself, I have faith that with God's help, there is a way for this situation to be solved for the blessing and benefit of all. This kind of conversation, she says, will rid you of worry and anxiety. It will help you release the situation into God's care and to know that in ways that might not be apparent to you, the situation, the solution, is being brought to light. So anytime you find yourself thinking in terms of weakness or ill health, Smock says, affirm, I know and believe that the healing, renewing life of God is in me now. And she also says, and we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, of all the conversations we carry on with ourselves, the ones that go over and over the past, that remind us of what we said or did, or failed to say or do, of what someone else said or did, or failed to say or do, those are probably the most destructive. We don't want to carry along those old hurts and grievances. We want to feel that the past is forgiven and forgotten, as in God's sight it always is. So she says, let us be willing to release old hurts. Let us give up the thoughts that leave any of us feeling that we are unworthy. Anytime that we have that thought of unworthiness, that is definitely an error thought. And so she ends her article by saying, make it a good conversation, that self-talk. Make it a true conversation, for remember, you are listening to yourself all the time. And the kinds of ideas that you give yourself make all the difference in the kind of person you are and in the kind of experiences you have. So, no matter how carefully we monitor our self-talk, honestly, it takes mental discipline to repudiate those things that are not from spirit, doesn't it? It really does. It's not an easy thing to do. So in Unity, as most of you know, we work with a pair of spiritual tools to help us say yes to what is spiritually true and no to those thoughts and beliefs contrary to our spiritual essence. And these basic tools to condition our consciousness are called what? What are they called? Yeah, denials and affirmations. That's exactly right, affirmations and denials. Denials and affirmations, according to Myrtle Fillmore, are the two angels that guard the door of our consciousness. Now, in denial, we deny the power and the ultimate truth. We deny the power of appearances and the limits they impose upon us. Actually, the limits that we impose upon ourselves, but at any rate. In affirmations, we affirm that there is always a greater reality, the truth of ourselves as unlimited spiritual beings. So let's take these concepts and talk about them in a little more detail. First of all, let's address denials. In the book Heart-Centered Metaphysics, Paul Hesselbeck writes, denial is the ability to let go and release negative thoughts, feelings, attitudes, or incorrect beliefs. It's also the power to refuse or reject. Now, I know a lot of Unity students who love affirmations, but sometimes we're not that crazy about denials, are we? Because we think they're negative. They seem negative. But the truth is, we cannot really align with our spiritual selves if our minds are full of untruths. Emily Cady says it best. She says, oh, there are the affirmations, sorry about that. She says, it is not enough to learn more truth. We have to stop believing lies. And especially, we have to stop believing the lies we tell ourselves all the time. So denial is our great tool for that. And really, it's the power of no. It's the power, in some of the translations of a Bible verse, it says, let your yes be yes, yes, and let your no be no, no. So denial is the power of no. Jesus tells us in Mark 8:34, if any of you want to become my followers, let you deny yourselves. Now this, and follow me, this verse has been misinterpreted for centuries. It's what the Puritans, you know, would cling on to about having no pleasure in this life. And they thought it meant to deny and give up all the comfort, all the joy, you know, all the grace of this particular physical world. But I ask you, does that sound like our Wayshore who said, I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete? Jesus never meant for us to give up any of the beauty and the goodness of this world. Metaphysically, he's telling us that in order to follow him, we must deny what our personality, our human selves, tells us is true, and we must deny that the appearances of this world are all there is. And denial is actually one of our 12 powers. As represented by Thaddeus, it's the power of elimination or renunciation. It's the power to release, remove, deny, denounce, and let go. Now, interestingly, the word Thaddeus, the name Thaddeus, in the Greek meant large-hearted, warm-hearted, or courageous. So the idea is, in order for us to live from our hearts, live from our spiritual selves, we have to release those error thoughts like fear and hate and revenge. So this practice of denial helps us disassociate ourselves with any false beliefs and thoughts. Now here's something really important, and that is, stating a denial does not mean that we ignore suppress, or pretend that a condition is not showing up in our lives. Jo Warren, our longtime teacher, used to always say that when she was very young in Unity and would come to church with a cold, or other people would come to church with colds, they'd be coughing and snorting and carrying on, and people would say, "Oh, you've got a cold." And they'd say, "Oh, no, not me. I don't have a cold. Because they were afraid to admit that something was wrong with their physical body, thinking that that's that metaphysical malpractice piece. And really, if we try to suppress our outer conditions, that's not psychologically healthy. So what we need to do is, as Jesus demonstrated so many times, simply look beyond the appearance, admit it's there, but look beyond it and release the energy or power we've given to the condition. So if my body is experiencing an illness like a sore throat, for example, I might say, "This sore throat," admitting it's there, "this sore throat has no power over me." Or if it's a more serious condition, I might say, "This diagnosis is not the truth of who I am." So we are admitting it's there, but we're denying it power. Now, we can formulate a denial anytime we're aware of a thought or feeling like pulling us off of our spiritual center and not aligned with our true Christ nature. Charles Fillmore, Emily Cady, Eric Butterworth, so many Unity great writers provide tips about how to best construct our denials. So I'm going to share just a few of them with you. I bet a lot of you know them, but review never hurts. First of all, denial should always be in the present tense and the first person. I deny this now. Not in the past, not in the future, now. And whether they are audible or silent, they need to be uttered without too much vehemence. Because if I say for example, I might say, "I give no power to my thoughts of lack." I'm not going to say, "I give no power to my thoughts of lack." Because what does that do? That just, you know, it's like a war. It's like a battleground, isn't it? And it stirs up negative energy about it. So we just very gently state them. Charles Fillmore said, and I love this, "Let us make our denials as though we were gently sweeping away cobwebs." Just a gentle sweep, just like our song we did before the lesson, "Gently sweep over my soul." So thirdly now, it's important that we always follow a denial with an affirmation. Nature abhors a vacuum. And we all know what happens when we pull a weed and leave the ground bare. What happens? Comes right back, doesn't it? The weed comes right back faster than it seems, you know, than you can imagine. And so every time we pull a weed of negative thought, we need to replace it with a flower of spiritual truth. Pull the weed, plant the flower. Which leads us to affirmations. Now, affirmations are when we assert positively what is true, even in the face of all evidence to the contrary. And so really our whole mission in life as spiritual beings having a human experience is to live and know and live from the truth. That's what we're all about. And even though affirmations are more popular than denials, they're still sometimes misunderstood. Remember, an affirmation conditions our consciousness to a spiritual reality. Charles Fillmore tells us the act of affirmation is the yes action of our mind, the mental movement that confidently and persistently asserts the truth of being in the face of evidence to the contrary. It is not wishful thinking. It is not, as Paul Hesselbeck says, affirmative thinking. I mean, it's not positive thinking. It is affirmative thinking. It's not positive thinking, possibility thinking. It is actually realization thinking. We'll come back to that in a minute. So of all Jesus' promises in the New Testament, what statement was chosen to be on the outside wall as you enter the door? What Bible verse is out there? "You shall know the truth," say it with me, "and the truth will set you free." And so by use of these affirmations, we claim and appropriate that which is already true at the level of spirit in the absolute realm. Affirmations are not about becoming, they're about being what we are. For example, if after I look at my bank balance and I have denied some thoughts of lack, saying these thoughts of lack and poverty have no power over me would be a good affirmation. Would be a good denial. I'm not going to follow that denial with something like, I am going to be prosperous someday. You know, when is that? That's not now. I want to claim it right now saying, I am an abundant child of the Most High. I am prospered now. So it's really important to put them in the present tense and also with power. So some guidelines for our affirmations. We've already said affirm in a bold, positive attitude of mind. Unlike denials, which we sort of gently say, we very firmly and powerfully say our affirmations because we are exercising here the power of the word, and it's important to do it in a strong way. We always make our affirmations in the first person and the present tense. I am whole now. This is important too, to engage our feeling nature and our power of imagination. In other words, we see it, we claim it, we feel it, and that feeling is really important. Paul Hesselbeck says, if the feeling nature is not engaged, the words are merely hollow shells of truth, lacking the spirit underlining the word. So we always have to get the power of the feeling. So we use our power of imagination to just picture how wonderful we're going to feel, knowing that this is done, and also just bringing the feelings up, gratitude and joy and all the feelings with it. And last but not least, and we already referred to that, affirmations affirm what is spiritually true. I could stand here all morning long and affirm, I am an 18-year-old world-renowned opera singer. And you know what? In this lifetime, I don't think it's going to happen because it's not spiritually true in the first place. So a lot of people misunderstand this and they think affirmations are hocus pocus, you know, magical thinking, but they're not. They're simply our telling ourselves what is already true. And so the more we use these twin tools of denial and affirmation, the easier it becomes to constantly say no to fear, worry, and doubt about outer appearances. This release allows us to confidently let our yes be yes to the spiritual truth that God is all and all is God. The infinite presence surrounds us, enfolds us, and dwells within us always. This is our eternal reality and the substance of our ever unfolding good. One with the Most High, we are mentally and spiritually attuned to our inheritance of divine life, love, peace, and joy. We live from the wholeness we are, and so it is. So let's take a moment now to prepare our consciousness for prayer and meditation by affirming the truth of the divine. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in our lives. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there's only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in our lives. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.